Anybody has a question or any remarks about today's talk?
Sekar ji, this is Manikandan.
Manikandan, go ahead.
Thank you, Sekar ji. Today's topic is also very useful in terms of, the practical application. One of the things which I liked is the port reduction and changing the format. This, I think many times our mind is always trying to go outside and, capture the, things, the worldly things. So now this port reduction is a part of the sadhana sudrushtiya sampatti, and using after reducing, maybe we can convert this format of atmanatma vivega. So I find this as one of the useful way to reinforce the knowledge.
Very good. That's right. It's a very important. This port is a something which Swami Paramatmananda has coined, and he has put it in this form, and he says it will be useful for grihasthas to reduce this. You see, many times we are lost. We want to know about Atma. We learn Bhagavad Gita, but sometimes you don't know how to go about it. So this is a practical method, and it says there are only four things which you need to reduce. Means your occupation, mind's occupation with your possessions, my house, my office, my duties connected to the office. This is one area, possessions. They take a lot of our time, and our mind keeps on going outward into this, into the world of possessions. Another is obligations, duties to the family, duties to the society. Again and again, the mind keeps on thinking of all the duties. So again, our mind is preoccupied. Relations, family, and so on. Then transactions. I have to do this list. I have a to-do list every day in the morning. As soon as I get up, I have a to-do list. So what Bhagavad Gita teaches us is, okay, this is all required at a very early stage in our life, when we are not sure about who we are, what we are doing, and so on. Our education society, education system helps us to go towards earning money, setting up a grihastha life, and so on. See, there is nothing wrong in it. But what eventually Bhagavad Gita teaches is, after you have gone through life for a certain period of time, check for yourself whether you are happy by having a preoccupied mind all the time. So that is where this port reduction comes. I have to reduce my activity so that I am free. My mind is a little bit free to contemplate on this Atma. Good. Manikandan, you picked up a very important point in today's talk. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank
Namaste. Anybody else has a question or anything to remark? See, we are studying Shankarabhashyam for this one verse for almost 5 or 6 sessions or 6, 7 sessions, I think. But they are all giving us important feedback on how to look at our own life. And gradually, as you learn this commentary, and slowly your mind will absorb this knowledge. You see, like I said, I always say, repeatedly keep listening. Continuous listening is very important. It is a systematic teaching. Did anybody understand that Uttama Purusha principle? Anybody? Did you understand what I was trying to get to? Or was it extremely difficult at this stage?
Because is it beyond the Karana Sariram? It is like,
yes, it is. It is
okay.
beyond the
Like a
Karana.
Turiyam, is it same as the Turiyam?
Yes, 100%, you are right. It is exactly like Turiyam. Maybe at a later point of time, when we get a chance, I will explain this whole thing again. Perhaps I will take a meditation on that by itself. Slowly, I will take 2-3 meditation sessions. You see, that Uttama Purusha also reveals the same self. Purusha means self. Sugandhi is asking, Purusha means self. Self means Atma. So, today, and Atma means I, Aham. All of us, right from birth, we have a notion in ourselves as I, Aham. What is that Aham? Sometimes that Aham gets connected to the body and then it says, I am sick, I am tall, I am fair, and so on. Sometimes this I gets connected with the mind. It says, I don't understand, I understand, and my mind is dull, my mind is very clear today, it is sattvic in nature, and so on. That is the I inside our body, which gets connected to the mind. What Bhagavad Gita teaches is, it teaches us, don't connect this I to the body or mind. Then you will ask me, what is this I? That is a natural question. Here is where Uttama Purusha comes in. This I is nothing but it is dwelling inside the body, no doubt about it. But it is not the body or mind. It is Atma. Normally, without Bhagavad Gita study, you will say that I am the body, I am the mind, because that is what everybody is ignorant with. All of us are ignorant. So, this I, aham, anytime you just ask a question, I, you know, you don't even, it is an internal thing, you know, it is something which is deep within us. That I is what is being revealed as Atma, which is not inside the body. It is all-pervading self. It takes time for us to understand this all-pervading self. It may take you 10 years, but once that all-pervading self is clear, that is what is moksha. I is not limited to this body. I is Sakshi. I is Atma. I have to remove that I from being connected to the body and mind, and I have to connect it to Atma. What is that Atma? Atma is pure consciousness. That is the job of that is the job of studying the Bhagavad Gita. It is an internal process. It is an internal intellectual process. It happens when you keep on listening continuously. A time comes when your own mind will be able to drop the connection with the mind and connection with drop the connection of I with the mind and I with the body. That is moksha. Good. Sai, Shruti, I understand you like the class today. Thank you. Shanta, go ahead.
Namaste, Shekhar ji. Actually, well, as the lecture was going on, I had this trying to understand a little more. I mean, I think I sort of missed a little bit as my mind was a bit occupied, probably, and I didn't fully get the difference between this Sharapurusha, Aksharapurusha, and Uttamapurusha. And Uttamapurusha, of course, I understood, but I was trying to get, and a little bit of it I did catch up at the meditation session when you got forward. So thank you very much for that. And actually, you know, this verse, which is 3.17 from Bhagavad Gita, that is Prakriti Karmanani Gunai Karmani Sarvashaha Ahankaram Vimudatma Kartaram Avti Manyate. This is something is my favorite, and I always keep it to the side of me because it, as and you sort of pointed out today, we always think we are doing the action. We are not doing the action, and that is something we got to keep reminding ourselves. And so this lecture was quite, you know, impressive, and it was very useful for me today. Well, probably because I was going through, I mean, last few weeks I was going through a lot of, you know, busy schedule with my sister coming from India, and I think Shamadur knows how it is when you have guests from India. They're just too demanding, and I was just yeah, it was quite hard. And I was just thinking now that you know, yesterday when I was meditating, I was just thinking, oh my God, so many things to be done, catch up. And today I just, after this lecture, I just felt, oh yeah, that was all planned for. I wasn't doing anything, or you know, nothing. That was as per the karma. So it felt very good, and it was very refreshing and soothing, this lecture. So could I just ask for a little, maybe one line explanation of this Akshara Purusha, if I may, please, if you could just highlight a little bit of it.
Good. You see, again, like Manikandan, you have got the gist of today's talk as the 327 and 20, chapter 327 and 28, which is extremely important mantras for a jnani. You see, if you are going on the path of jnanam, chapter 3, 27 and 28 should be at the back of your mind all the time. Because it clearly says Prakriti is doing all actions. Prakriti is the karta and Prakriti is the bhokta also. Very, very important two mantras of Bhagavad Gita, which teaches us I am Atma and Anatma is doing the action. I am only a Sakshi. So, good. So, that is about 27 and 28. Very, very important mantras.
After the seventh mantra of, you know, the Sharanagati, which Arjuna does in second chapter, this 3.27 is second on my list of, you know, I've made a bit list of things, I mean, my own
Very good.
favorite
Each one of you should
mantras.
make your own list. I
My
suggest each one of you, if you're serious in learning the Bhagavad Gita, make your own list.
So because this one actually, it's sort of, because when you look at say 20, or you know, the 3 point, I mean 13 chapter, this 9.4 and 5, these you know, 9 chapter, I find these are of course leading you to, but all that only comes, whether it's na jayate mrayate vakata chetnayam bhutva bhavita bhuyat, you know, those verses. Or you're talking about my Nachvastani Bhutani, that we have to Pashyami Ishwaram, that one. Or, you know, that I am in everything. All of those will, or 7.12, for the example, all these will only become useful if you actually understand this 3.17 or 27 properly, because otherwise you're still in that loop of understanding, you know. That's what I felt. And so my only thing for the beginners is, you know, if you understand the 3.27, I think then 7.12 or 9.4, 9.5 will become much more easier to, you know, get through and realize it, getting it, as we say in English, getting it under your skin. that becomes much more easier. So thank
Good.
you very much.
Yeah,
Thank you
you
very much. And just,
see, a type of student like Shanta, she will be easy, she can easily do mananam because she has identified, say, 5 or 10 mantras from the Upanishads or Bhagavad Gita. Even if you keep Bhagavad Gita by itself, forget about Upanishads. Just keep Bhagavad Gita by itself. There will be about 25 mantras. I keep repeating this so many times. Where if your mind dwells on these mantras continuously, again and again, again and again, these mantras will reveal to you Atman. You don't have to go anywhere. These mantras by themselves will reveal the Atman. They have the power. Okay, now coming back to the Kshara, Akshara, and Uttama.
Yes, please. Yes.
Okay, let me tell you the background. You see, in the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna wants to reveal to Arjuna whatever he has revealed as Atma in the second chapter. He wants to again repeat the same lesson, but at a higher level. He's putting it, you see, in the second chapter, he said, Atma is unborn, Atma is Nithyaha,
Imperishable and
it is
Nithyaha.
imperishable, all that. Okay. Now, in the 14th chapter, he does it by saying that Atma is not one of the gunas. That is the
Yeah,
central
the three
message
gunas in
of
yeah
the 14th chapter.
14 chapter,
So,
yes.
I am guna atita atma.
Vatita.
That means what? I am not a part of gunas. Sattvic, rajasic, tamasic, gunas. They are anatma. I am atma. That is 14th chapter. In the 15th chapter, he takes another. See, it's like a painting. You know, a painter draws his paintings. He again draws another painting for Arjuna. In the 15th chapter, he again uses his brush. Lord Krishna uses his brush and he throws another painting. Now, what is this painting? He's dividing the whole creation into two things. One is Prakriti, another is Purusha.
Purusha.
First of all, that is the basic thing you should understand. One is called as Prakriti, another is Purusha. This is the basic fundamental analysis. Now, Prakriti itself, he calls it Purusha also. Okay, now Prakriti, he divides it into two parts. I will tell you why he uses Prakriti also Purusha in the end.
Okay.
So, our starting point is Prakriti and Purusha. That Purusha which we are talking about in the beginning is called as Uttama Purusha.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. And other side is what? Prakriti.
Prakriti.
Now, Prakriti, he's explaining to Arjuna and he says, Prakriti has got two forms. One side is Uttama Purusha, second side is Prakriti. Prakriti has got two forms. One is called as perishable or manifest. The other thing is imperishable,
Unmanifest.
unmanifest. Okay, so now we are analyzing what is Prakriti. Prakriti means matter. Matter is jadam. It is inert. Matter means five elements. So the first mantra in the 16th mantra, I'm now chanting the 16th mantra of 15th chapter
Fifteenth chapter.
of Bhagavad Gita. Dwamimau purushau loke sharakshakshara evacha ksharasarvani bhutani Kutostokshara. So what does this mean? Dwamimau purushau loke. In this world, two purushas are there. perishable and imperishable. Here he is talking about the prakriti. All beings are perishable. And what is imperishable is called as kutastha. Kutastha means the imperishable, that means the causal body. When I say that prakriti is perishable and imperishable, the way we should understand perishable and imperishable is what is manifest is called as perishable. Manifest means what? All of us in this Jagrat Avastha is manifest. That means what? The whole Jagrat Avastha is matter only. Okay, this is this perishable prakriti he is calling it as Kshara Purusha. I'll tell you why he is using Purusha the word again. The reason he uses Purusha for prakriti also is because it is the same Purusha which is appearing as the matter. Same Uttama Purusha, which is spiritual in nature, Atma, it from a Paramarthika level, it comes down to the Vyavaharika level as Kshara Purusha, perishable. That means there is an Atma which appears in the empirical world as this whole universe, which is manifest. There is another condition of this manifest world, and that is called as Akshara Purusha. Akshara means imperishable. Imperishable means it is always there. And what is the always there? It is a potential condition of this waking state. Potential condition of waking state is what? The sleep state. In the sleep state, what is it? It is all this whole universe, all our jivas, all bodies put together. It is in a potential form. Potential form means it is in a causal form. That causal form of prakriti itself, matter itself, is called as Akshara Purusha. So matter is divided into Ksharam, Aksharam, perishable, imperishable. Imperishable is it is eternal, because causal body has got Sanchita Karma and all those hidden things, and then according to law of karma, that it manifests. So that is Kshara and Akshara. Is that clear?
Yes, that's
okay. Now coming to Uttama Purusha. The 17th verse of chapter 15. It says, Uttama Purusha Svanyaha Paramatmetu Dakrataha Yoloka Traya Mavshaya Vibhartavya Ishwaraha. Distinct from this matter is another indestructible Lord, which is called as Uttama Purusha. That means, apart from this matter, there is another principle in the world which is called as Supreme Purusha. Paramatma means what? It is the controller of the three worlds, who pervades the three worlds. For example, waking, dream and sleep is pervaded by Atma. That is why it is called as Purusha. See, the waking world and the dream world and the sleep world does not exist without this Atma principle. Why? Because we, in our sense organs, we don't see this existence principle. See, we say waking state is, the sun is, moon is. Now, the world, we say is, but the isness of the world does not belong to the world. It belongs to Uttama Purusha. That is why that Purusha word is being used in Kshara Purusha, Akshara Purusha. Because there is no Kshara Purusha and Akshara Purusha, there is no material world apart from the consciousness. Uttama Purusha is consciousness. Kshara Purusha and Akshara Purusha is material world. Material, Kshara and Akshara, the only difference is one is potential condition of matter, another is the manifest condition of matter. But both this potential condition of matter and the manifest condition is controlled by whom? It is controlled by Uttama Purusha. It's controlled by the consciousness. That consciousness sustains the three states.
Okay.
If you take the waker as the example, the waker appears as the dream world and appears and sustains the dream world. Similarly, Uttama Purusha appears as this waking world and sustains the waking world.
Okay. Thank
so,
you.
In my meditation, in my ultimate knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita, how should I really take this mantra, the 17th mantra? The 17th mantra that I should meditate as, I am that consciousness, awareness, principle. Mm-hmm. When you say this, automatically everything else should get dropped. Because everything else is Prakriti, and Prakriti does not have an independent existence. It is falsified. It is there for experience, but it is not the truth. I am the truth. That is the meditation. Automatically, you drop the Kshara Purusha and Akshara Purusha because they are Mithya. They are matter.
The Adhishtanam, yeah.
And I am the Adhishtanam for this matter, material world. This is how you understand this mantra.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for explaining very clearly this.
Yes, if you are really
nice.
Serious, whatever I have discussed in the last 5 minutes, you write it down, keep it with you. Think about it in your own mind. Mm. And if you have questions, call me. I will explain.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Good.
Shekharji, I have a follow-up question
yeah.
from the last 15 minutes of a fantastic discussion that you had with Shanta. As I appreciate that chapter 15, 17th verse directly refers to the Turiyam, which is the underlying for all the three states. That's the reason he's saying it is your... Lokatrayam, right? So in all the three states, he is the presiding.
Correct.
So on him is overlaying all the three possessions. That is
yes.
very clear. So which establishes the Advitiya nature of the Atman.
Correct.
That I understood. But when I'm going into the 15, 16, when we were doing the Mandukya Upanishad, for that matter, we use the word Kutastha to be the, even in if you say chapter 8 or chapter 13, we use the word Kutastha to be the Adhar, to be the Adhataram, to be the
correct.
Adharam.
You're right, absolutely right. Shankaracharya brings that out in the commentary. He says in the 12th chapter, there is Kutastha. He says that Kutastha belongs to, that Kutastha refers to Uttama Purusha. It doesn't
exactly
refer...
that is what confuses.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, you are absolutely right. That Kutastha there belongs to Uttama Purusha, which is Brahman.
Okay.
Kutastha can be used for Brahman also. It is also used for this in causal state.
Okay, then now I am clear because I was confused.
Correct. No. Yes. You very good. I mean, I'm so happy that you're bringing this out in Shankaracharya's commentary in Bhashyam. He brings this out.
Yeah,
he says that don't get confused between the word Kutastha of the 15th chapter and the Kutastha of the 12th chapter.
Okay.
Good.
Okay,
very
okay.
good.
That's it. Thank you.
Nandu, go ahead.
Hari Om, sir. Missed your classes, a few classes, because I was traveling.
And back to be hearing you. And this is especially beautiful discussion. And thanks to Shantaji to bringing this thing topic about Kshayaraksha and Uttam Purusha. Just to endorse, sir, about like my understanding, and I believe this discussion may be mainly starting from the 13th chapter of Gita, where about like Kshetra Kshetrajna words being used. And this terminology may be different places, different wording is there. And as per my understanding, where we are saying like a Prakriti and Purusha, that Prakriti maybe we can, the word some places may be used as like a Maya, Maya and Ishwar. And ideally the top is like Uttam Purusha, which is like a Brahma. And from Brahman only this Maya Purusha or Prakriti Purush came out. And ideally it didn't happen with like Acharyas or maybe Gaudapada Acharyas, because this world is didn't happen at all. So ideally the top is only Brahman only. But when we mention as a Prakriti, Prakriti means then Purusha came. Otherwise that Purusha no need to be there. And Purusha is treated like Ishwara is a Mayopadhika Brahma. This is as per my understanding. And if that Maya is there, then the Ishwara will be there. Otherwise there is no use of that thing. And there are some different terminology we use in our scriptures also, like Jeev, Jagat, Ishwar, and Brahma. And Jeev, which is like the Acharya has like main terminology as used, like Jeevo Brahmeva Naparaha. So all these in between things are coming as a Jagat or Ishwara. Those are just like appearances. Whereas that Jeev is nothing but that Brahman only. So Brahman is on top, whereas all these things are just like appearances, which is in the name of Prakriti Purusha or Maya Ishwar, something like that. If that understanding is correct.
Yes, absolutely right. Good. Your understanding is very correct. Brahman is right at the top. If you understand Brahman, there is nothing more. The world doesn't exist, because that is why we say Jiva is nothing. If Jiva Bhava is falsified, Jiva Bhava is can be falsified, negated. It is Badaha. Therefore, if Jiva Bhava is nullified or negated or falsified, what remains is only Brahman. Brahma Bhava alone exists. So a jnani lives throughout his life with Brahma Bhava. Whenever the Jiva Bhava comes, okay, whatever needs to be done, he will do it. But his anchor is Brahma Bhava. You talked about terminologies. You are absolutely right. 13th chapter talks about Kshetram and Kshetrajna. Kshetram means Prakriti and Kshetrajna means Uttama Purusha or Brahman or Turiya. Now, Prakriti also has another name called as Maya. Maya is another name for Prakriti. What you have to understand very important is this Maya. We call it as a magic show of Ishvara. Why do we call it magic show? Because of the main reason that there is a manifest state and there is an unmanifest state. That is why we call it as magic show. In most of the scripture, Dakshinamurti Stotram and all that, we always say it's a world is a magic show. Maya is equivalent to Jagat. It is equivalent to entire Jagat. When I say Jagat, it includes waking state, dream state, sleep state, all the three states. All the 14 lokas, everything is Jagat. And in each of these contexts, you see, according to context, different terminologies are used. In 13th chapter, I told you it is Kshetram and Kshetrajna or Prakriti and Purusha at a later stage. In the 14th chapter, Prakriti is called as Gunas, and then Purusha is Guna Atitaha. In Mandukya, the same, you see, is used as Kshetrajna is same thing as Turiyam. And Kshetram is waking state, dream state, and sleep state. Now, in all these, methodology is adhyaropa apavada. Adhyaropa is whenever you talk about kshetra, that means kshetram is superimposed on atma. Apavada means when you negate kshetram. In all these three chapters, 13, 14, 15, there is one mantra which will negate the material portion. And then it will say matter is dependent on consciousness. You see, even in seventh chapter, paraprakriti, aparaprakriti. Paraprakriti means it is kshetrajna turiya. Aparaprakriti is the same as the shara purusha, akshara purusha. So this is how you try to understand Bhagavad Gita. In the second chapter, in 12 to 25, is it Uttama Purusha which is being defined? Yes. When Lord Krishna says, I am unborn, you are unborn. Is it Kshara Purusha, Akshara Purusha? It is Uttama Purusha. It is Kshetrajna. It is Atma. So that is how you have to link up, you have to understand. And once you understand one portion clearly, then it is very easy. Any chapter you do, you immediately will say, this is Shara, this is Akshara, this is Uttama. Or this is Prakriti, this is Kshetrajna. Or Kshetram, Kshetrajna. Bhagavad Gita is so nice, and Lord Krishna, he uses this Adhyaropa Apavada system in all these three chapters, 13, 14, 15. And that those are the revelation chapters. And these are the mantras, if you meditate on them as yourself, you see, ultimately, again and again, do not objectify Atma. God is somewhere in heaven. God is somewhere in Vaikuntha or some other desha and kala. I have to go and reach him. See, then you are in samsara. Because you are always trying to say, yes, I will. It's a future event. It's a future event. Shankaracharya brilliantly brings it in all these commentaries of 13, 14, and 15 chapter. He says, never. See, in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Himself says, Aham Atma Guda Kesha, I am in the heart of all the human beings. We are all human beings. In our heart, there is Atma. There is that Chaitanyam. There is that God in us. Try to reach God in your own heart, in your own intellect. And you reach your own self. Because God is nothing but the self. Self means Atma. Without the self, there is no world, there is no body, there is no mind. That is one lesson. The second lesson is I am real. I am Satyam. Body, mind, world is an appearance. It is mithya. It is dependent. If these two lessons you are able to meditate again and again, I mean, I am always free. I am Chaitanya Swarupam. Is in your palm. That's it. There's nothing else. The whole teaching is over. Then it is a question of only meditating. I am Atma, I am deathless, I am birthless. I am pure. Pure means what? I can exist without the body and the universe as I exist in my sleep state. I am pure Atma. As pure Atma, I don't need anything. Body is a upadhi. Upadhi means it is a medium to experience the world. Without the body, I still am there. If that notion comes into your intellect, then the old notion that I am born will be gone. And that is what is the ultimate phalam. is the ultimate benefit of Gita study. These are very, very important, very deep discussions. I'm sure a lot of people have enjoyed it. That's why I can see the questions coming up. And okay. Bharat, you want to say something?
Namaste, Shakuchi. No, I have no comment. It's I'm still proceeding with my Bhagavad Gita study. I haven't completed it yet. So when you were discussing chapter 15, verse 16 and 17, I had a quick read of it whilst you were speaking, because I haven't studied chapter 15 in detail.
No. You must study the Shankara Bhashyam.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So I'm looking forward to that. But as you were speaking, it just reminded me of the
Purnamara.
I was just making a statement. That's all.
Yes, it is Purnamada Mantra. It is an exact, nothing else. It is Purnamada Mantra, Brahadaranyaka Upanishad.
Superb. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, if there are no questions, I will stop here. Namaste. Thank you.
Namaste.
Thank you.
Thank you.